Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a special day to honor the legacy, to honor Dr. King. To do it here in the city of Atlanta is really special. I understand the impact of having that game and being able to host a game. It does bring a lot of attention and should bring a lot of attention to the city. So it's another opportunity really for us to reflect, to converse, to have conversation about the history of Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That is Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce talking about, well, what tomorrow will be and what it has meant here in the city over the years for this particular game. We are the focus of the NBA on this date.
We are the home of the game. Again, because for a couple of seasons, Hawks were playing out of town on this
day. Well, how did that happen?
I still don't understand how it happened. And you know, when it comes to me and the NBA, I'm a big conspiracy theorist.
I know you are.
You know, and so I don't know why. How could you do that? That this is the home of the NBA's MLK holiday game. It started here in Atlanta.
Cowboys and Lions don't play on the road on Thanksgiving. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
There you go.
But how did the Hawks end up a couple of years ago playing in New York on King Holiday? How did that happen? So, I mean, I'm glad that the game is back here tomorrow. It's 3 p.m. Orlando Magic will be in town, and we'll have the game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was just sitting there thinking and was going to ask you, what happened to the Magic? I mean, they used to be relevant, going back to Dwight Howard, even Shaq before that.
Well, that's been a while.
I know, but I'm asking overall. Isn't that a destination?
They have a very nice building.
They got a great building.
Incredible building.
You got a state, no state taxes.
You're the only game in town. There's
exactly.
No other major league team in town, except for the national championship football team that's there, Central Florida. So, I mean, you have the place.
I'm always surprised at that, though.
All to yourself. And you would think that would be kind of like Portland, though. You know, Portland's the only game.
Now, Portland is in Oregon. We're talking about Florida.
But I just mean as far as a team where if you're on that NBA team, you own the town. There's nothing bigger than an NBA team except for the mouse. And when you come to Orlando.
That's a big mouse. that mouse and that dude's name run that area of Florida.
Absolutely.
And as
absolutely.
A matter of fact, you talk to some, they run the whole state.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and the thing of when you get down in that area, you get close, the toll booths show up, Mouse is getting his money. Mouse is getting his money before you even get there.
Well, you get some manicured grass out there, too.
Yes, you do.
You get some manicured lawns
nice?
And bushes. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah, it's
well,
great.
You,
great
at least you get to see where the money's going.
Yeah.
I was just surprised that Orlando has not been a destination for more top players and coaches and things like that. But, yes, you can hear the Hawks Magic game tomorrow, pregame 2:30, tip off at 3 o'clock for the MLK game. Any special memories from you covering that game that you can think of, other than the play? You know, the game was the game.
The game is the game, but usually has some really good music, good singing. I've been over there. Halftime show, post-game concert with, like, Shirley Caesar.
Okay.
Yeah, that's some serious.
Got to look her up.
Serious gospel, man. Yeah. So usually you're gonna go in there and hear some good music over there as well tomorrow. And also, you know, throughout the game, you'll be reminded of the words of Dr. King and the significance of the day.
So, and you mentioned this yesterday, so we want to make sure because we questioned this last week because of the government shutdown. Weren't sure whether or not King Center was going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
But you said that Delta stepped in?
Delta stepped in, and so the national park there and the national areas will be open for the holiday. And, tip of the cap to the folks at Delta and Atlanta-based, Atlanta-home corporation that will do that to see that at the King holiday, people are able to visit the King Center and visit the other facilities around that area as they normally do on that day. But there's a lot of other things that are going on around the area. You have to check for the thing that's happening wherever you live or wherever you're around, or there are a lot of things to attend tomorrow, obviously, including a lot of high school basketball. We mentioned a lot of high school basketball around the area that's taking place. It's become a big weekend for for high school basketball in the metro Atlanta area. So you may want to go and see some of that tomorrow. But also some things I tell you also, if you just want to give a plug to a place up in Buckhead, the Atlanta History Center. I don't know if you've ever been in there. It's free tomorrow. It's completely free. And for King Holiday, they're going to have documentaries, going to have one-act plays.
The Civil Rights Museum.
No. I'm talking about Atlanta History Center. On Pacers Ferry in Buckhead. Yeah, there'll be stuff at the Civil and Human Rights Facility for sure as well. Absolutely. But there are also going to be some things up there at the Atlanta History Center, and it's going to be absolutely free. So yeah, there are a lot of things you can take part in tomorrow, obviously. During King Holiday here in Atlanta.
You think they have a sports section in that place? I've never been there before.
I haven't been there either. I understand they have a nice section dedicated to the Olympics in 96.
Okay.
And I do want to go there and say I think they still got Michael Johnson's shoes. I've been told.
Well, he's probably upset about that.
Michael Johnson's shoes.
You think he donated them to
him? That's one of the
those gold shoes?
That's one of the lingering memories.
I can't believe he donated those shoes.
Well,
to us.
Nike made more than one pair.
Okay. So they're not his necessarily the ones wore.
I don't know.
The zeros would still be rolling off the check if I was going to give up those shoes.
You're talking about one of the memories of 96.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
It's Ali lighting a torch.
Yep.
It's them gold pickup, those silver pickup trucks.
The pickup trucks that came with an opening ceremony.
Hey, that'd be a good idea. Y'all bring them pickup trucks up in here and we'll show the world that we used to place for pickup trucks. Somebody okayed that.
Yeah.
And then.
Hilarious anyway. I thought that was real funny.
Well, yeah.
And a pickup truck. Your pickup trucks are there.
Well, I got calls from everybody in Chicago. What do you live down there with pickup trucks? We're 5 miles away from the Mercedes-Benz plant, but yet we got pickup trucks.
We got pickup trucks, man. Oh, that was big.
Okay, am I right here? Ali, the pickup trucks.
Carrie Shrug.
I was just going to say, Carrie Shrug.
Yeah.
The Johnson Shoes. And the unfortunate occurrence.
Yes.
Those got to be more than five.
But, I mean, those are things you...
Those are the five things you regularly talk about.
They're regular, but there were so many more. You have to stop for a minute and pause and think.
Oh, one more. Actually, I don't know. This might have ascended to not just Ali lighting the torch, Ali getting his medal back.
Yeah.
Watching millionaire, top-tier NBA players acting like fifth graders. When Ali showed up on court. So, yep. You know, there were stars, and then there was the star's star.
Right.
And when he showed up, the dream team, I think Jordan even showed up for that one. Because Shaq came out there, Patrick Ewing was out there.
Yeah, Barkley.
Just a few of the guys. Yeah, a few of the guys that were on the original dream team came back for the ceremony that night. I can't remember if Jordan, I think he was here for that. But when they wheeled Ali out on the court, he was in a wheelchair, I believe, just because they just didn't want him walking around, and brought him there, and those guys all came out, and it was that memory. There's two memories like that in this city for me. That was one, and when they brought out Ted Williams. Was it the All-Star game here?
All-Star game.
And Tony Gwynn, I think, was bringing him out.
I'm there as they come out.
I was just
going
to ask if you were there for that.
On a golf cart, really, and I walked by, and I waved to Tony Gwynn, and Ted Williams is there, and he reaches his hand out. He sends his hand to shake my hand. I don't know if he felt like he had seen me before or just saying hello.
Right.
Because I looked at him, we made eye contact and exchanged a smile, and he just reached his hand out, shake his hand. I said, very pleased to meet you.
You know how many people in Boston would kill for that moment that you had with him? Because that was his thing. Like, he didn't acknowledge them, didn't tip his cap, didn't, you know, thank the crowd early on. I mean, eventually he did.
Right,
but
right.
Wow. But those moments to me, and again, looking at these millionaire players act like school kids.
Oh, absolutely.
When certain people show up.
Isn't that amazing?
That was one of them.
That happens. It can happen. Even like you said, the guys, they're millionaires. They're making big money. They're at the top of their game. They're in the prime time for them. But there's somebody else that comes in that they've looked up to and have idolized. And they got a chance to be in the same room with them.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, if you're just joining us, we've been kind of reminiscing about a couple of things. Although everything seems to come back to these championship games that are going to happen later today. We're going to take a break for that for just a second because we've been talking some basketball, and we're going to have Deshaun Tate on next to let us know what's going on in college basketball and the fallout from Michigan and Virginia losing yesterday. But I want to ask you about the NBA, and things seem to be going okay with LeBron being out. This is the first time in, 15 years that there's been a stretch without LeBron James playing?
Yeah, but they lose last night to Houston in a game they could have won. They lose in overtime, and Lonzo Ball goes out with an ankle injury. They had to pick him up and carry him off the floor to the locker room. And so they don't know when he'll be available again. But once again, LeBron has been unavailable to play for a time. It seems like there's no reason for him to hurry and rush back.
Man. He
wants to take his time and get completely healed from this injury. And we're just not used to seeing that happen to him. We're not used to
that. No, I mean, this is it. This is his first time out for an extended period of time. I mean, I don't know. This is Luke Walton's earning his money now. We didn't really expect anything from the Lakers this year. People speculated that any team LeBron's on is going to win 50 games and he'll bring them to the playoffs and so on and so forth. I mean, I don't know. And, of course, everybody's waiting for next offseason to see who decides to come. It'd be really funny if the Clippers okey-doked everybody and they got Anthony Davis and you know, just threw a monkey wrench into all of Magic's plans. I don't know. But anyway, getting back to the NBA, what happened here locally last night?
Yeah.
And Marcus Smart losing his mind, which he's kind of been doing since, what, Oklahoma State? He does it every once in a while. He'll go sideways in a way that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And last night, was it Bembry last night?
DeAndre Bembry. Was exchanging some words. He got a technical foul call early in the game and then came back later. They're exchanging words, and he kind of goes after Bembry. And he gets that second technical and is kicked out of the game. But, you know, you're watching that team, that Boston team, and Urban just kind of picked him up and put him on his shoulders and carried him to the finish line last night, and they were able to beat the Atlanta Hawks. Still impressed with what the Hawks do because they led pretty much for most of that game. Final score was 113-105. I'm enjoying watching this Hawks team grow and mature. You're seeing the people who kind of get it, you know, and know what's there and know they want to be a part of what's going to happen going forward. We're still looking for the ping pong balls once again, you know, this season. But we're seeing some players come out and emerge and show, hey, they want to be a part of the core of what goes forward with this team. Kevin Huerter is the guy. During the draft, I said, watch this guy be something special. And during the time of the draft, he had an injury and wasn't able to start on time with everybody else with camp and everything. He has caught up with the rest of the team, and he's been a big contributor offensively. And I think this guy's going to be – pay off in big dividends for this team going forward down the road. I like what he does with this game. You know, Trae Young is getting more consistent. I think that's the thing we want to see from him. Early in the season, we saw one game he'd be on. Next couple of three games, he might be a little off struggling. He's getting a lot more consistent. So I think you're seeing the growth with this team. And John Collins is John Collins. He's going to be John Collins, you know. So I just like what I'm seeing from this basketball
team. Plus, from what I've heard, everybody feels confident in Coach Lloyd coaching these guys up.
Yep.
And obviously he's going to have to get a few more pieces, but the pieces at least that are there right now building a foundation from Coach Bud and what he's been doing. Boy, look at what he's doing up there in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but look at what he's working with.
I understand, but still.
He's working with the second coming of Tim Duncan in a way.
Yeah, well, Tim Duncan didn't get it done by himself.
No, absolutely.
He did not.
I know.
And you got to wonder what's going to happen when somebody gets in his ear about when, you know, you might want to test free agency out and be a part of our team.
You know
somebody's going to try that, right?
Oh, absolutely. So. Well, but if Milwaukee, you know, makes the investment and get people around him, you know. I mean, San Antonio's not a destination either. So look what they did. I mean, a lot of people feel like you got to be in certain places in certain towns. You know, to me, you make that destination if you got the right player and the right coach and the front office is dedicated to giving that player what he needs around him.
You know, I have a theory about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's valid or not. You tell me. Can I argue that that doesn't happen? The San Antonio thing, by the way, doesn't happen unless you have the players and where they came from on that team. Popovich doesn't get away with that with Americans. He started with the gold standard, okay? And they didn't win and go crazy with David Robinson. But until he got guys that were great players but from other countries that didn't mind living in San Antonio. These weren't four guys from New York and L.A. and big cities in America. They were happy to be here in some respects. So I'm saying, can I argue that that doesn't happen with five American players in a small market?
Yeah, you happen to be here, but you see who you're going to get to play with, too.
My point is we haven't seen that, though.
The front office is going to make the commitment, too.
Have we seen that, though? Have we seen it like that with American players in a small market that stayed for the amount of time that those guys were great in San Antonio? And I'm just saying, how does he do this? Well, maybe it's easier when you got a guy from Argentina and a guy from France and a guy from the West Indies and they're all schooled up by, you know, the Admiral David Robinson. And, well, mind you got to have a great coach.
Like
still,
I said,
that foundation of players weren't from here and they didn't mind staying in San Antonio.
We got a lot of others come from other countries. They am done with those guys.
15 years they'll run. Come on. Yeah, for that amount of time, staying in that city. That's what I'm saying.
Because we're winning.
All right, well, anyway, let's talk to Deshaun Tate. Go to college next.
That's it.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a game day Sunday morning. Sam and Greg, a lot better looking morning than yesterday, but then again, that's not saying much.
Not saying
much.
We
can see the clouds this morning.
Yeah, yesterday we couldn't even see them.
We couldn't see it, but everything's going well. Man, I want to get back to something we talked about. We can't because we got a guest on here in Deshaun Tate, and I want to talk to him about a couple things because I don't know if he's happy or what about what happened yesterday with Michigan. I think he is because they lost, and it doesn't matter anyway because his team is still sitting atop the Big Ten. But I've been wanting to ask you a question, Deshaun, and I'm going to ask you it, we'll cover it, and we will move on. All right, I have purposely stayed away from this. And I have been saying that the best thing that Michigan State has had going on for them this year is the success of Michigan. In that, if a Tom Izzo-led team program is doing what it normally does, they have a brighter spotlight on them. And this year, given what has gone on in the periphery with that university, this past week you guys got rid of university president number two, they would be, he would be dealing with a lot of that stuff. He'd be dealing with a lot more questions. And given what's been going on, this program's kind of been sitting back. Even though they're atop the Big Ten as far as the conference, they're like, hey, yeah, Michigan, you take the heat off of us. Let everybody kind of concentrate on what you guys are doing because of what's surrounding this university. So this is the only time I'm really going to ask you until we get to more relevant games. Are you surprised at the success Tom Izzo has had and this program, given what's been going on in the periphery from Larry Nassar and then the presidents and administrators of that university and everything else that's gone on?
No, I wouldn't say exactly. I think I'm a little surprised in some cases, but in most cases, no. As the season goes on, Michigan State typically gets better anyway. The closer that you get to March, and this is usually around the time when that happens, so from that standpoint, I would say no. But what the reason I would say yes is when most schools go through these types of things, it hurts them, and it hurts them for more than just a little while. It will take effect the same year if it's in a college basketball season, and then even the following year if that team is, you know, is good enough at that point. So I know that may not make a lot of sense, but it does definitely have an effect on, you know, on the team for sure in that season. And you know, Michigan State is just one of those schools that, you know, they come to play as, you know, as the time goes on. And at the end of the day, you know, this team is playing for a lot of, you know, for a lot of that movement also.
Okay.
And so from that standpoint, I just think that they should be ready to roll for sure.
All right, they sit atop again. And I ask you this, and for those of you who just tuned in, Deshaun is a big Michigan State fan. He works here. You know, that's his team. But again, he covers all of college basketball. But we have not addressed that 400-pound gorilla in the room, so I wanted to get that, and then we'll move past it. These guys sit atop the Big Ten at 7-0, but 16-2 the record. We had a couple undefeated teams going into yesterday's play. Not so much today. Let's move off of the Big Ten and talk about what you think is going on with Virginia.
Well, Virginia's one of those teams that, you know, they play hard in those games, and, you know, they hang their hat on that. You know, that's their staple. And the thing I don't think that people understand is that they're a lot better offensively than people give them credit for. And, you know, you're playing in the most hostile environment in the country. I think that makes a huge difference. And they lost by 2 points. I think it's going to be a totally different situation when Duke goes on the road with a whole bunch of freshmen into Charlottesville, against a bunch of juniors and seniors, an experienced team as well. So, but Virginia is going to be right there. I still think that Virginia is one of the two or three best teams in the country. I would say two best teams in the country. And their issue is going to be their style moving forward. That's the elephant in the room, and everybody knows that. But they're going to have to win, you know, win or lose with that the same way that they have been. I think this year I feel a little bit different about them. I think that they can win with that style. I think that they are not only one of the top two or three best teams in the country, but as we go forward, everybody's going to be talking about cutting down the nets, and there's 12 to 15 teams that can do this. They said this every year. I still think it's only about a handful of good teams that can do it, and they're one of them.
Spending time on the WaitReport.com hotline this morning, as we always do, Sunday morning, spending some time with Deshaun Tate. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tate's Take Sports, keeping his eye on all things college basketball. Kind of a bumpy day for our basketball teams from this part of the world, Deshaun. Everybody, including Georgia State, went down yesterday. Talks about Georgia Tech, though, playing without some of the top players. Not the great time to have that happen with a team like Louisville coming to town.
No, it's not. And I'll tell you what, they might want to hurry up and get that corrected sooner than later, because on Tuesday, Notre Dame is coming to town, and we'll learn a lot there. It was, you know, Mike Bray is one of the most underrated coaches in the country, and his teams always, you know, come to play, and they're always gritty and grimy, and they always overachieve. And if, you know, you don't get it together during that game, well, up next is Carolina and Duke. So, that's needless to be said as to that needs to, no introduction. But you can't shoot 10% from three. I mean, that's just something you can't do. And it's disappointing from a shooting standpoint of both of two of our three, you know, teams here between Georgia and Georgia State. A couple weeks ago, Georgia shot 5% from three. Yesterday, Georgia Tech shoots 10% from three, but it's going to be a rough patch right now that Josh Pastner is hitting, and you know it's a bit unfortunate. But some things have definitely got to change, and they have to change soon because this thing is only going to get crazier.
Thoughts about over in Athens, and of course Georgia had Florida yesterday. CBS made their game national yesterday. Florida against Georgia, the Gators get the win. Thoughts on how Georgia picks up the pieces after that?
You know what? I was a little bit surprised to see that that the game was so close. At sitting at 10 points, the margin was so different when they both shot almost the same amount from the field. And Georgia, I think their biggest issue was Rayshon Hammonds going down. And they didn't get what they really needed out of Nicholas Claxton and what they've been getting recently. But, again, much like Georgia Tech, there's going to have to be some changes made, not necessarily from a coaching standpoint, but within the roster. Everybody likes to talk about how these programs has to get guys that stay home. Right now it's not even about, you know, recruiting guys and getting the best guys to stay home. Sometimes it's just about getting guys. And it's not that they have guys that can't play. But I think one thing that's helping Georgia right now is the length that they have as far as the team is just that the talent isn't all that great. And those things realistically for both teams, those things have to change.
You talked about staying home, and then truer words couldn't be spoken this week as Mr. Higgins came back to visit Georgia this week, playing with Kentucky, and Kentucky eked one out against Auburn yesterday. They survived to win that one. But thoughts about seeing that in person? You talk about the guys from the area not wanting to stay home. He was originally committed to Georgia, and he came back to kind of put the hurt on the Dogs this week.
Man, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, Ashton Higgins is arguably playing the best basketball in the country, and that's in the same conversation with Zions and everybody else. Now, granted, that's only over the course of like 2 weeks maybe, but it has been a strenuous 2 weeks for Kentucky. If they didn't have Ashton Higgins' offensive production that he's not known for because he's so used to being considered only a defensive player, I think in the last five or six games he's averaged double digits in terms of points. Prior to the last five or six games, he's never scored double digits in points, so they're definitely counting on him quite a bit. And everybody was talking a lot of mess about Kentucky, realistically, after losing by 34 points when Duke played them in the first game of the season up in Indianapolis. Now you see that, you know, even though Tennessee is likely going to be the number one team in the country when those rankings come out tomorrow, they almost fell to Alabama yesterday at home, by the way, but they won by 2 points. They're likely going to be number one, but they're starting not to look as strong as the weeks go on. Auburn doesn't look as strong, and here comes Kentucky just kind of climbing back to slowly look like the Kentucky that we're used to seeing, but it wouldn't surprise me if they fail yet again, and then we don't know who the best team or second-best team is in the SEC.
This is college basketball right there. We just start paying attention in March. Deshaun Tate joining us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, we just got a little bit left here of everything that you talked about. Tell us the one little nugget that we should pay attention to this upcoming week in college basketball. Somebody we're sleeping on, a program we're sleeping on. Who is it?
I'm not sure that there's necessarily one that's really being slept on. Probably Michigan State. I hate to be that guy, but you know Michigan State's got a very tough Maryland team that's in front of them. And instead of it being Michigan State, how about I say that the answer is Maryland? How about that? They're playing some of the best basketball. Like I was talking about Ashton Hagans over the last 2 weeks. Them as a team over the last 2 weeks are playing some of the best basketball. The big question has been in the Big Ten, who's going to get a ton of teams into the NCAA tournament, much like something we're used to seeing the ACC getting. That's going to be the Big Ten, but nobody knows who the third best team is. Just like the ACC, you have Duke and Virginia, but who's number three? We don't know who that is. Well, in the Big Ten, you have Michigan and Michigan State, but nobody has been clear to make themselves as a number three. Maryland has been slowly stepping into that spot, and they have Michigan State this upcoming week, so that one should be good with Bruno Fernando and Jalen Smith in the front court. Two guys are expected to go in the first round or early in the second round of the draft in the event they come out.
All right, Deshaun, listen, I appreciate it, man. Have a great week. I don't know what you're going to watch today because it's all about football, and we know how you feel about football. You can watch that Bradley-Southern Illinois matchup.
Whoa.
You know, well, they're playing today. That's a matchup. You know.
I don't even know what football. As far as I'm concerned, in this town, football is soccer. So I have no idea.
Look at him. Look
what
at
you
him.
Guys are talking
look
about.
Look at him. Deshaun Tate.
Listen to it.
He'll be back with us next
so
week.
So says the Lions fan.
That is soccer. It is soccer, though. It is soccer.
It's Sam and Greg. Deshaun Tate. Thank you, man. Enjoy your day. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. It's a game day Sunday morning, championship Sunday. We've got Rams and Saints kick off at 3 o'clock and followed by the Patriots and the Chiefs kick off at 6:40. You just heard that news, but I figure I'd give it to you again. You hear that game right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also want to remind you the King Day game, and I say it like that, but yeah. I know it's the Martin Luther King Day holiday game. Mm-hmm. The Hawks always play in tomorrow. Them against the Magic, pregame at 2:30, tip off at 3. You can hear that game right here. Again, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to revisit something that you said before we get into what's going on down under. We were talking about somebody who missed the Olympics. Oh, Edwin Moses.
Yes.
That's who it was.
Yes. You're talking about the number of medals, and I reminded you that he didn't get a medal for 80 because of Russia.
And the other two people that I think of when I think about the people who missed that is another reason why the Dream Team was so special. Because we were talking basketball a little while ago, and Magic and Larry.
Yeah.
As great as they became, still had an opportunity to get it even bigger, because imagine if they had played together on that Olympic team.
And they managed, well, you know, and they managed to put them together for the Dream Team. And Larry, most of the time, my memory of Larry Bird with the Dream Team was kind of laying on his back. Or
that's
there,
true. You know,
just trying to make it through the games.
But that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is there was the possibility. I mean, what the record is right now is still crazy. It is just absolutely crazy. And the fact that we talk about others before we include this in achievements of American athletes. In a 4-year span, this dude won a high school, he won a college, and he won an NBA championship in a 4-year span. Now that right there is Rushmore-like, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine throwing a gold medal in there on top of it. If him and Larry had played, I'm talking about Magic Johnson, won a high school, a college, and a pro championship in a 4-year span, and there was the possibility, had we not boycotted the 80 Olympics,
yep,
to have a gold medal thrown in there.
Could have been there.
That's just amazing to me.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
So anyway, we were touching on that earlier, and I didn't get that. And we can thank President Carter. Like, open the window, we can tell him ourselves. Say, hey.
Baby.
He had, you know, we understand.
He's teaching Sunday school class, man. He's Sunday school teacher.
He's down in Plains, right? He teaches up here.
He does some here, but for the most part down in Plains.
Down in, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. One of the things we want to revisit that we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour, and there is need for updates. We go to our tennis maven, Mr. Crenshaw. What's going on with the first tennis major of the year?
First tennis major, we mentioned earlier that Roger Federer has been eliminated and is the number 3 seed, 37 years old. And, you know, he's won them all, and you just want to see him win more, but knocked out today. And he's gone from the tournament. Right now, on the court right now is Sloane Stephens, American Sloane Stephens. Want to see what she can advance to the next round. Give some more hope for a U.S. winner there. And then coming up tonight when they come back on, like I said, this is still the night session. When they come back on at like 9 o'clock tonight, our time, it'll be like 11 o'clock or noon there. And
when is today really tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or when is tomorrow and today the same?
In Australia. And so that's that when that comes on, it'll be Simona Halep, the number 1 seed, against Serena Williams. Halep knocked out Venus, and so she will try to go to see if she can get a sweep of the Williams sisters. But Mama's saying we ain't having that, so we'll see.
Do they stay in Australia? I know they stay at all the other the Grand Slams, but do they jump on a plane and get out of Australia?
Oh, she probably hangs around. But when they're done, probably unless they're playing doubles. So that's the thing at the Slams. Usually, not all the time, but most of the time, you see them play doubles, and one of them might play mixed doubles. So we'll see. We haven't got to the mixed doubles yet. The doubles have started, but not the mix.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
We only got a few minutes left in this one, but we actually need, like, what we are. We need an appetizer with them to get started. But a friend of the show, an Atlanta, what would you call him? In Atlanta what?
Man, he does everything.
Doesn't he, though? He's a Renaissance man.
He really is.
He is an Atlanta Renaissance man.
You know,
played for the Falcons,
yeah,
but that is just part of what he is known for.
Yeah,
you've heard him here many times. You're going to join us for the last hour of the show, Mr. Chris Draft. Good morning.
Welcome. What's happening?
That's all we got to do. We say hello, we just let him go. Now, before you get going, we were just talking tennis, and the funny thing was, and we just got a couple minutes in this segment left, you actually have a connection to that stadium down there. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was asked to speak in Australia at the beginning of October, and it just so happened that my hotel was right across the street from the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, which is the MCG, and the Melbourne Cricket Grounds are right by where the Australian Open is played. So when I'm watching now on TV, I can actually picture what's going on around it.
And what were you doing in Australia?
He was asked to speak.
Well, you know, I'll do a little bit of lung cancer work and cancer awareness work. So absolutely. I actually was asked by the Lung Cancer Foundation of Australia to come down and speak. And I essentially did a tour of Australia. So we started in Melbourne, went to Brisbane, and then went to Sydney, and then took a nice 4-hour trip over to Perth, Australia, and then came back to the States. Nice.
All around the coast, though. That must have been beautiful. Because everything is around the coast there.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Just tremendous people, and they were so excited. I mean, there's tremendous innovation that's happening in lung cancer, and one of the things that's so important right now is getting those messages to the people and not just allowing these top academics to hold on to the information, but getting it to the people. So it was a tremendous trip where it just had a chance to come down and go to the cities. They were surprised. They said, "Would you be willing to go?" I said, "Heck yeah. If I fly out there," I mean, it's like 15 hours from L.A. So, you know, from Atlanta to L.A. and then down there, I said, well, yeah, I'll be okay with going around to a couple of places for an hour flight here or hour and a half flight there. Nothing. But it was tremendous, and they were excited and had a great time.
Yeah.
I still want to know if the toilet water flows the other direction like they always say.
Always. People always say that.
They say that. Does it
they drive racing cars. They go backwards.
Yeah, it goes the other way.
The other way. Anyway, Chris, we're glad you're in the house, man. We're here for the next hour. And, of course, you go to the Super Bowl every year, and you serve a number of purposes, a number of things you do there in addition to the game itself. And we're going to talk about the games coming up today as well. So you're going to hang in the house with us for the next hour.
I'm going to be here, man.
All right. And you're a perfect person to be here for Sam's pet peeve, too. The perfect person. Where's Radio 92.9 The Game?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.